Okay, here we go. We're on the Rambam, Perek Chafav, Halacha Beis, Chapter 26, Law 2. Okay, now, we're now talking about if the borrower cannot pay, and now the Orev, the cosigner, has got to pay. So how quickly do we collect from him? And all different scenarios of where the Orev is paying. Can he be quick to pay, not quick to pay? These are the next number of halachas.
But we've learned so far that nobody gets their money fast.
That's right. Beis. Malve shetoves aloive. The creditor wants his money from the borrower. And he says, I am sorry, I have got no money at all. I have nothing. So we say, okay, well, now we're speaking guys where the Orev, the cosigner, is a legitimate cosigner and he's on the hook. So you might think, okay, you don't have it, fine. You go to cosigner, shell the money out today.
Please.
No. Ain't a yachli parminare, if you can't collect immediately from the cosigner, ad acher shloshim yom yom shnishayev. You have to give him 30 days from when the borrower now has told us he is not able to pay. In other words, when it's clear that the lova has no money. And now, at this point, does the orev now become obliged? So it's like now the debt is incurred by the cosigner when we know that the borrower can't pay. And just like a borrower gets 30 days to pay a loan. So really, the cosigner at this point now is like he's owing the money. And now we have to give him 30 days as well.
Oh, I told you, nobody
you
gets
give him 30 days, to pay. Because we can't say that the cosigner is any worse off than the borrower.
Yeah.
And therefore, and everything we say about collecting from a borrower, all those details with the different shtaras and all those things, all have to do with the cosigner as well. But the first step is, he's entitled to the 30 days, just
you,
the same way.
Happens.
And this is what the great rabbis have ruled. However, of course, if you want to be, want to change the rules as the creditor, and you know what the law is, and you want to write amendments to this, and everyone's agreeable to this, let's say he writes, personally, the creditor writes, I'm writing here and I'm stipulating that if the borrower defaults, I collect immediately. And if everybody's agreed to it, of course, you can write whatever you want. Or if the credit, or if the cosigner says, you know what, I want 6 months to pay, and everybody's agreed to it, if you all agree to it, but this is when there's no agreements, the standard rule is 30 days like anybody else. Yes, Howard?
How does it compare in terms of mitzvahs to be a lender with no interest versus a cosigner? Am I making more points? So
it's two separate mitzvahs.
Is it a mitzvah?
Is it a mitzvah to be a cosigner?
Sure, because otherwise the loan won't happen. Yeah. Let's say I go to you, Howard. I say, Howard, you know, there's a really nice kolo in Israel you should be giving money to. And you maybe initially weren't thinking of giving to that kolo. And I persuaded you to give them $100,000 a year.
$100,000? Howard?
Now.
Whoa.
Right? It's a modest donation for Howard. So.
Modest.
So now, do I get any credit? Do I get any credit at all?
For persuading me?
Do I? Of course I do. Some say I even get more reward than you do. Because I got you to do it.
It's called a commission.
On your own, you wouldn't have done it. So now I even get a bigger reward.
So now,
let's say another mitzvah. Somebody wants to borrow $100,000 from you. Now, if you would lend it, it's a mitzvah, right? But you don't want to lend it. You know why? Because you're afraid you ain't going to pay you back. So now if I co-sign, it's like I encourage you to do the mitzvah. So he gets a mitzvah also.
So is it a greater mitzvah to co-sign?
It could be. If you say it's greater to cause someone to do a mitzvah than the person does the mitzvah himself, it could be. But don't have everybody line up to be the co-signer and not the borrower, because somebody's got
the lender.
Somebody's got to lend the money. But it's definitely a mitzvah to co-sign, because usually you need a co-signer when the lender will refuse to lend. Why do you need a co-signer? Why would you need a cosigner?
The Gemach is classic.
Because the lender is saying, I ain't lending to this guy, and let's have some insurance, I'm going to get paid. Well,
Gemach
is two, but you can have one. Okay, Gimel. Okay, now, let's continue. Now is a very interesting point now. So now, remember we said where we get to certain points, the cosigner has to pay. But let's say, can the borrower take advantage of this halacha that the cosigner has to pay? Is this a benefit more to the creditor, or is it also a benefit that the borrower can abuse, so to speak, for his benefit? So let's see Gimel. Mal v'shabo litfos halova, the creditor comes to collect from the borrower, v'lo matzalo nechasim, he doesn't have any assets that we are aware of. So now the borrower says, you know, that's it. Everything's fine now. Now go right now to the creditor, to the cosigner, because you got the right to go to the cosigner, and just go. So ena yochel itchoso, the borrower cannot push off the creditor. Velomer lech etzel hakablon. Let's say a case where there's a kablon, and a kablon you can collect from him first. Remember, you go to him first. Now, remember, it's saying that the borrower isn't paying, but that doesn't mean we can't find something from him. We could dig. So the borrower is like, it's a real friend, Paul. You know, it's like a real friend. You know, please co-sign for me. And then when he can't pay, he's ready to pay for you, right? So in other words, now let's say the guy's a coblin. If the guy's a coblin, what do we say?
Go to him first.
The creditor can go to him first. So that we can't, now do we let the borrower take advantage of that and say to the creditor, well listen man, don't bother checking my, don't do a financial audit on me, try to give me, it's a lot, just go to him and get him. And I insist that you do that. Nothing doing. He can't do that. He cannot push him off and say that. Elotovea komishwatsko. The creditor still can go to who wants to first. He has a right, if he wants to go to the coblin first. But the lovis shouldn't exploit that to now encourage the creditor to do that. That's number one. What about now? V'im nosa hakablan hamos miyad hamalva unesam belova. Here's an interesting case. What if a guy wants to borrow from a creditor, and creditor says, I don't really want to lend it to him. So instead of the creditor saying, lend it to him, and I'll be the instead of the co-signer saying, lend it to him, and I'll be the co-signer, the co-signer says like this, you know, he turns to the owner, to the creditor, and says, just give me the money. Give me the money, and I'll give it to him. I'll give it to the borrower. Okay?
Whoa.
And I'm the co-signer, but just give it to me, and I'll give it to him.
But is this with the permission of the borrower?
Yes, yes. He wants him to borrow it from him. He's having trouble getting it from the creditor. So the co-signer, no. He's going to become a borrower. He's going to be a very upgraded co-signer. Imnosa hakablon. He's a kablon over here. The most. Miyara malva. He takes it from the creditor. Unasana viyara malva. And now he goes to the borrower, gives the borrower. Then ein la malva biyad halova klum. The creditor can't collect anything from the borrower. At all. Because really it was all the co-signer. The co-signer really ultimately became the borrower. Okay, that's case number two. Case number three. What if Hayalova Bimina Kheris? Let's say the borrower just happens to not be in town by some just a coincidence, right?
Yeah, sure.
And we don't see any properties lying around the Ponderosa of the borrower that we can just take from him.
Right.
Because if there was, remember we could take even the guy's not there.
Right.
But we just, you know, he's not around. Shane Yokol, Lodia, Lolekalov. The mob is not allowed, is not able to inform the borrower that he's taking anything from him. Scenario one. Oh, Shemei Salova, let's say the borrower died. He left inheritors that were minors that he can't collect from them yet. So what do we do then? Then it becomes obvious. Then you go to the cosigner first, even though really you don't have to go to him first, but there's no borrower to go to. Since he's not around, you can go to the creditor first. Okay. Another similar, now, there's one, you know, just like we said, many times when we have to collect, there's gotta be some oaths made to make sure everybody's on the up and up. So there's gonna be some oaths as well. Just like we had in other cases. Malva shitove salova. The malva wants money from the lova, umatso shu'ani. And it appears that he allegedly has no money. He says he has no money. And it appears he has no money, but of course you never really know what's stashed away in a Swiss bank account, right? The guy says he can't pay the tuition of the school. He can't. He gets a free win. But somehow he made the Florida three times over the year.
Three times.
Somehow there was But he was poor. On his tax return, he's showing us it's nothing.
Right. I talked to Revenue Canada.
Anyway, so now, Eina Yochali Pare Mina Orev, he cannot collect, that creditor cannot collect from the cosigner, even though it appears there's nothing to collect. So why shouldn't it be a collector? And she is Shava Halova until the borrower makes an oath that he has no money. And this is Takonis Achronim. This is not a Takonis Gaonim. It's Achronim. It's really the latter rabbis from the times of the Rishonim, as it were. He has to make an oath. The borrower, She'ein lo klum, has nothing. Now, why do we do that? Let's just believe him. The answer is, Shema Yasa Kanunya. Maybe there is a trickery going on between the borrower and the lender. You know what they could do? Look at this naive cosigner. I'm just going to say, give me the money. You're going to say you don't have it, but yesterday you already paid me back. And now we're going to collect, I'm going to collect from the cosigner. We'll split the difference. So therefore, you're going to make an oath. You want to do that? You're going to be making an oath. And you want to make a false oath? That's not a thing we should be doing. All right. Good. Hey. Now, so far we've been...
Why are we suspecting it, though?
We have to be absolutely sure. Because now you have a foolproof way of cheating people. Just like anything else, when I'm going to collect, I'm taking somebody's property. The guy has to say, I have nothing. Okay. You always have to be certain. And otherwise,
you could always, under the table,
just pay the debt. This way, you always would have the orev over the barrel. You could always say, he doesn't have. Finished. And he really paid him back. And the two of them are going to split the difference. So it's got to be, you have to be sure that he doesn't have. All right?
Are we going to talk about the guarantor going after the lender to try to get his money back?
Yes. Well, we have already begun to talk about it, but we'll talk more about it. Okay. Hey. Now, up to now, we've been talking about loans with a shtar. Remember, a loan with a shtar, you can collect from lien property, all these things, and more than that, remember, if you have a shtar, that's pretty solid proof that a guy owes you the money. Yeah. What about a milval peh? What do we know about a milval peh? A milval peh, really, the loveh is believed to swear that I paid you back, right? If you just have a verbal loan, even with witnesses that the loan took place, but there's no shtar. So the guy says, you owe me the money. The guy says, yeah, I owe you the money. And I swear that I paid you back. Mm-hmm. Is there anything the borrower lender can do? No, that's the problem with the milval peh. So it's not very strong. The creditor is not strong in here. And really, the borrower has a great way to get out of it. So let's assume now that you are an orev on a milval peh, which is harder to collect. So, someone decided to be the co-signer on a verbal loan. And now the creditor wants to go to the co-signer. And why is he going to the co-signer? Because the borrower is away from the country. Now, normally, if it would have been a star out there, you could just take from the co-signer, right? But here, since it's a milval peh, if the lover is here, what could he have done? He could have made an oath that he paid him back.
Right.
And then the creditor would not instantly get it. Now, if there was a shtar, even if the lova was here, the guy could just take it anyway. Right. But now, if it's verbal and the lova had the ability to say, no, I'm going to swear I don't owe you, so we transfer that, so to speak, to the orev. Omer Lahav, there it says, listen, you want it? Havei raya, bring a proof, shelo paracha, that the borrower didn't pay you back. Because if he would be here, he could make an oath and say he paid you back. Since he's not here, right, you have to prove he didn't pay you back.
So because the guarantor wants some
and
proof.
And therefore,
here.
And you can't just make an oath and get it. So shalom bracha lova, if you can prove that the lova did not pay you back, then vani yasham lach, then I will pay you back. Because we still give the rights of the lova, so to speak, it transfers to the orev, insofar that the creditor must prove that it was not paid back, because the fact you borrowed without a shtar, lent without a shtar, it could have been just paid back. Now with a shtar, we don't say that, because then what is he still holding on to the shtar
for?
Why
do you still have it? Why is it still in existence?
Okay, now, this becomes a little tricky now. Vav's a little tricky, but it will make sense. The general rule of this is as follows. This is the general rule, and we'll explain as we go ahead. Usually, the Orev has an obligation when he has a real obligation to pay, and he does pay, then he's able to go after the borrower and collect from him. But if, as we will explain in certain situations, the Arev really doesn't have to be so fast to pay back. We'll show you the situation soon. But if he pays back when really, if he didn't necessarily have to pay back so fast, and if he didn't, really, the borrower could have gotten out, could have gotten out of it. But what did he do? The Arev went and just was quick to be a good Samaritan and pay back.
Finally, somebody's paying.
Well, the borrower's going to say, listen, man, I didn't ask you to do this because I could have got my way out of this one. At that point, the Arev cannot collect from the borrower. Ooh. In other words, when it's a situation where the borrower was going to have to pay and there was no way out of it, and the cosigner kind of jumped the gun, but it was something he'd have to pay for sure, then he's entitled to ask. The general rule is if the cosigner pays, then the borrower has to deal with him. But if the cosigner jumps the gun, and it could have been the cosigner wouldn't have to pay, the cosigner, just like you'll find, for example, let's say like this. Let's say Reuven lends Shimon money, okay, and Shimon doesn't have the money. And Levi comes to Reuven and says, here's the money for him. He wasn't even a cosigner. He just gives it to him. Now, can he turn to the borrower and say, listen, I did you a favor and I paid? He says, well, yeah, you did me a favor, but I don't have to pay you back. Right? I pay back a debt you owe. I'm a stranger. I just come back and pay a debt you own. Now, can I go back to the bar and say, listen, now you gotta pay me back, I paid your debt. This is who asked you to do that for me. Same thing over here. Even though he's the Arev, but if he would not have been obliged clearly, then he's no better off than a stranger paying it out that didn't have to get paid. That's the general rule. Now we gotta crank out the details. But that's the main point. Vav, Arev, someone is a co-signer. Okay? But you'll see, he has no obligation to pay the malva first. He would not have had to do it first. First would have been the lova. And maybe if the lova would have dealt with him, he may have been able to get out of it. That's critical. But what happened here? Arev Shekidem, he hurried up. Vinasan Labal Chovis Chovis. He paid off the creditor right away. Before we even dealt with the borrower. Hareza Chozer Vagominova. He can collect from the borrower, but only under certain circumstances. Komash Shapara al Yaro, anything he paid through him. Afri Shaisa Milvapa, even if it was a verbal loan, Obeloid would call, even without any witnesses. But only under a very unique situation. But Madvar, when can he go back after the borrower? Kisha Amarlo, Halova Beisha, so when the borrower says at the time of the loan, when he makes it, he says, Orveni, be my creditor, Vishalem, and I want you to pay primarily first. If he's saying, I want you to be the guy to pay up front, then if Hitaka pays right away, then he's entitled to collect. That's only if the borrower says, I want you to be my creditor, and I want you to be the first responder. But let's say the creditor on his own, the co-signer was just a regular co-signer. And on his own, he volunteers. He becomes the Arvid the Kavlan. Or Shomer Lover, the borrower says, Arveni, you can be my creditor, you're my co-signer. But I don't want you to collect first. I don't want you to pay first. Then the borrower doesn't have to pay anything for him. Now here, the next word, Vachain, shouldn't be read and also, but it should be understood because. Because we have a rule. If somebody pays an IOU of another guy without his knowledge, even if it was a credit note with a collateral against it, which is a very strong one, but the borrower doesn't have to pay the stranger at all. He gets to get the collateral back for free. The guy who paid, he lost out. Why? Because I did you a favor, you had to pay. The bar says, hold on. Maybe the borrower could have appeased the creditor. You know, sometimes, you know, it's like Greece, right? Greece? We're defaulting. And they're trying to get Europe, they're ready. In the past, already got out of paying a big chunk. What'd you ask me to, why you pay my bill? I'll convince him. You know, we were friends. Remember World War II? Remember in that foxhole that pulled you out and they saved your life?
Come on.
Now what's $5,000 between us, dude? Don't you remember I saved your life? How many favors I did for you? Okay, I'll let the... See, now you went and paid it, I got all. Because there are ways, you know, these borrowers are very talented in being able to guilt out the creditor to not collect from them. Okay? So until the creditor has shown no mercy, and then it says, listen, man, you got to pay or I'm getting you in big trouble. Okay, co-signer, will you come in now? That's the only time the co-signer can do it. Umo chalo, because he may have forgiven it. All right, so that's the basic difference here. Now we're going to just do more permutations of this. What if, for example, now we're going to do the same idea, but now with inheritors. When is it a time where the credit, where the orev has to pay right away? And when is it that maybe the inheritors would say, we didn't ask you to do it right away? May salova, let's say the borrower dies. V'kidem ha'orev, and now this co-signer right away, upara ha'chov kodem shedis ha'yorshim, he pays off before the inheritors know anything. Okay, there you summon, but it is a case where the orev, let's say, is obliged to pay. Let's say he was a kablin, okay? Or let's say they made a condition of bringing it. I want you to be the first one. In a case where really asked me, that's not the issue over here, but here's the issue. The question is, does he really owe the money or not? Let's say, for example, if we know for sure that the father, the creditor, did not pay before he died. Let's say 5 minutes before he died, he says, I want you to know, I never paid. Okay. He admitted before he died. Oshnidu, he was in a state of excommunication. When you're in excommunication, you can't have any business with anybody. Umay's been doing. He died in an excommunicated state. You can't pay off loans in an excommunicated state.
So he's not to be
in this. Oh, shalohi giyas or it's before the time where the debt was due. And we have a rule, nobody pays the debt before it's due. If those are cases where you know it was not paid, and the orev is a one who could be a first responder, then that's fine. He's paid. Well, then he goes and collects from the inheritors, because we know for sure he was given the right to pay out first, and it's clear where the father had not paid. That's good. Now, a third case, again with little children. But here's interesting now. Now the first time, the Rambam will now acknowledge the difference between Goyish co-signers and Jewish co-signers.
Whoa.
In the Goyish world, a non-Jewish law is, even in the Rambam's day, when you have a co-signer, you collect from the co-signer first. Period. That is Goyish law. You don't even handle it. If the guy hasn't paid you, write them. If you have a bank loan, you have a co-signer, and time to pay, say, I don't have it, boom! Right to the creditor. It's not even you could pick which one you want to go to.
No.
You haven't paid?
No.
Boom! That's the Goyish world. So that's a lot different now. So let's say now, the father borrowed from a goy. And there was the father's Jewish, the creditor's goy. The co-signer is Jewish.
Mm.
Okay? So now, and he dies now.
Who dies?
The father who borrowed. The borrower dies.
The lovet.
And now let's see what the orev has to say. Hoya hamalva goy, if the creditor is a goy, who could collect immediately from the orev.
Yes.
Now what happens? And the orev immediately paid it. He paid it immediately, and he was entitled to pay it immediately. But looky here. And in Yorshin Chayim himself, the children don't have to pay anything. What? How come we have to pay anything? Why? Because Shema, because you gotta know something.
Ooh.
When a Jew asks another Jew to be the
co-signer.
The co-signer, he already knows in advance that the goy can collect straight from him.
And he may
have apportioned some money to the co-signer that, you know what, I know he's going to go to you first, so I'm going to make sure you have money to pay him off in case it has to happen. That can very well happen. And the fact of the matter is, the fact that the co-signer paid it off so fast, how come you paid it off so fast? Because you had the money already. So, because that's what maybe could have happened. So if the co-signer was quick to pay the goy, then we have a strong suspicion. Shema Aviyam Nasan Yadarev, maybe the father, the deceased father, gave the co-signer money, Kolachov, Shrelov, Nisha Goy Toveh, so Arev Trilo, because the goy is going to collect the creditor first anyway. Ulafika, therefore, the fact that he was quick to pay, Parazemi Daita, Kodim Shay Yuzami, he paid them off before he even let the children know. But if he didn't pay it off, what if Avolim Hodiyam Shah Goy Toveh? He says, listen guys, the goy is asking for money, you know. What's gonna be, guys? And they say, well, It would be nice if you paid. And then he says, okay, you want me to pay? I'll pay.
But now they have to pay.
Because if he had the money from the father, he would have paid it up. So then, Toveh so, and then he paid it off. Then Chayav Mesholem, because it's likely the Lova did not give him anything to pay off, and therefore they have to pay him back. Okay, good place.